Well, welcome to Hoboken Grace. For those of you who are with us for the first time, or those of you who are listening or watching online, my name's Chris High, and I'm the teaching pastor, or one of the teaching pastors here at Hoboken Grace, and we're super excited to have you this morning. As Justin said, for the leaders who've been out at Catalyst, we're kind of coming off of this unbelievable high, and I'm just excited to be able to continue this conversation that we've been having. And if you haven't been able to be with us, right now, we're in the middle of this conversation called Be Free. And we've been looking at how in your life, in my life, Jesus Christ comes and he says, listen, I'm here to bring you, contrary to what you might have heard, contrary to what you might have heard about this message of Jesus Christ, contrary to how you may have heard this message presented, I'm here to bring you freedom. I'm here to set you free. And we've been looking at how that works and how he's doing that for every single one of us in this invitation that he's presented to you. And it doesn't matter, as Justin said, it doesn't matter where you are on this journey. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. This is the invitation that's being presented to you by Jesus Christ. Listen, I've come to set you free. And we've been looking at how that is played out and what he's done for us. And so we begin with this beautiful story of Easter and how at Easter we're celebrating this freedom that he's given us from our mistakes and from our past, and how Jesus Christ, when he goes to that cross, he takes everything that's broken about you and about me, everything that's ugly about you and about me, and he takes it on him in this unbelievable exchange that he takes this everything that's wrong with us upon him. But not only does he take everything that's wrong about us upon him, but he actually, in addition, gives us everything that's beautiful about him. And so not only are we freed from our past, but then we're freed in our future because the expectations have been met. And all of the good decisions that he made as he walked this earth, and the righteousness that he lived in as he walked this earth, has been given to us. This unbelievable invitation that you can come to him, and that not because of what you've done, but because of who he's made you to be, you can be holy and pure and beautiful. That the past has been taken care of and the future has been taken care of. But not only is that true, but then as we begin to walk this life, he's leading us and guiding us on this path to life, this path to the most abundant life possible. And we begin to follow, but we follow not because of expectation, but because of the way in which he's loved us, because of who he's made us to be, because he's given us this new heart, because we begin to trust him in light of how he's taken care of us. And then we begin to worship. And so we walk the journey that we walk with him, not because, and I loved how one of my mentors and one of the individuals that I've probably learned from more than anyone else, how he said it this past week. And if you get a chance, as we continue to move forward, we're going to take the times from Catalyst, and we're going to make those available to actually everyone, and try to make sure that everyone has access to the main session talks. And if you get a chance, there's a talk at the end of the Catalyst Conference by a guy named Louis Giglio, and many of you have heard me reference him in the past, and I love the way that he kind of summed this up at the conference this past week, exactly what we were talking about last Sunday, that we follow not because we should, not because we need to, not because we have to, but because we may. Because we have the opportunity to, because it's who he's made us to be, and now we're free to choose. And when we look at the choices, we realize that there's nothing better than him. And so we begin to experience this unbelievable freedom, and we begin to walk in what the Bible references and what the Bible refers to as worship. And we worship, and we worship, and we worship. But as we began this conversation, we started off, and I told you that Jesus Christ came to set you free from the expectations. But not just the expectations between you and him. Not just the expectations in your relationship with him, but actually all expectations. And up till now, we've been dealing primarily with the expectations in the relationship between you and God, and this unbelievable invitation that you can step into this. And as we just said, you can experience complete freedom from the expectations that you think He has of you. And you can begin to live this life with Him without any expectation. But what about the other expectations? What about the expectations of my boss? What about the expectations of my spouse? What about the expectations of my mortgage company? What about the expectations of my family? What about the expectations of my dad? Did Jesus Christ come just to free us from the expectations in our relationship with Him? Or did He come to do even more? Does it get even better? And I believe that it does. And I'd love to be able to tell you that in your relationship with those around you, that there's a way for you to be able to come to the point where there will be no more expectations. But that's not going to happen. And you can try as hard as you want to in some way, shape, or form, live in a way where you don't have expectations of the people around you. And I think that that's something that we're going to be talking about next week, that is something that we need to work towards, because one of the greatest ways that we hurt those around us is the expectations that we put on them. And we're going to talk about that in just a second as well. But even though you're trying to do that, the truth is the world around you is still going to have expectations of you. And I'd love to be able to tell you that you can take what we've been talking about for the past couple weeks and take that into the relationships with the people around you, and that it would solve that problem for you. In other words, I'd love to be able to say that I could walk into, and you could try this, I don't think it will work very well for you, but I'd love to be able to say that you could walk into the next conflict that you have with your husband or with your wife, and you'd be able to say to them, well, listen, you know I forgot to tell you about this, and this is the thing that I usually struggle with, because I consistently schedule things without telling my wife about them, which does not go well, okay? And I'd love to be able to walk into that conversation and say to Anna, hey, listen, Anna, I know that I scheduled something and I didn't tell you about it, but I've been given the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and therefore I am holy and pure, and we're good. I'd love to be able to tell you that. I'd love to be able to say to you, listen, you know, this week when you walk into your boss's office and he says, why didn't you meet the expectations, that you'd be able to say to him, listen, it's okay. I've been given the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We're good. I'd love to be able to tell you that what we've been talking about would alleviate the expectations in the relationships with the people around you, but it won't. And the truth is that we're going to constantly, every day of your life, every minute of your life, live with expectations in the relationships that we have with the people around us. In our relationship with God, they're gone. But in the relationships we have with the people around us, there will be expectations. But I believe that what Jesus Christ came to bring into your life and my life is a freedom from the weight of those expectations. Now, in order to understand this, I think we have to go back to something that Paul wants for us to understand in this beautiful letter called Romans before he begins to lay out for us grace. And as we've been walking through this series, the truth is, if you want to go deeper in what we've been talking through and what God's done for you and the way, and the relationship that's possible for you with Him, everything that we've been talking through is beautifully captured in this letter called Romans that you're going to find inside this thing that we call the Bible. And as you read through the book of Romans, you're going to see him laying this out for us step by step by step, which is why so many of the passages that we've talked through have been from this letter called Romans. But before Paul begins to walk us through this beautiful thing called grace, he wants for us to be able to understand what it is that brought us to the point where we were slaves in the first place. And I want to take you to this passage. It's found in Romans chapter 1, verses 25, because I think in order for us to be able to understand how God is freeing us from the weight of expectations in the relationships with the people around us, we have to understand what's put us under that weight. And so listen to what it says in Romans chapter 1, verse 25. It says, they traded the truth about God for a lie
So they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. Paul says, here, listen, you need to understand the problem. And the problem is this, that we've traded the truth about God for a lie, and we began to worship things that aren't God. And in the midst of that, God steps in and says, listen, I'm going to pay for that. I'm going to restore the relationship with you. But this speaks volumes to what it is that enslaves us to the expectations of the people around us. Because you see, it's not just that we began to worship idols made out of wood. One of our greatest idols is not what we create, but actually ourselves. And one of the things that we began to worship more than anything else was not something that we set up on a bookshelf. It's not the American lifestyle. It's actually ourselves. And we began to believe, and you see this played out constantly in life, that we can actually provide what we need. This is the great lie from the very beginning. You don't need God. You can be like him. And you go back to this conversation between Satan and Eve in the garden, and the lie is this: you can be like him. You can be self-sustaining. You don't need him. And we began to worship ourselves. But the problem with that is that you weren't created to be self-sustaining. And there are certain things in your life that you cannot, no matter how hard you try, you cannot provide for yourself. And these are deep needs, needs of your very soul. And so no matter how hard you try to get away from it, you need to be loved. No matter how hard you try to run from it, you absolutely positively need to be loved. No matter how hard you try to get away from it, you need to be valued. You need to feel valuable. No matter how hard you try to get away from it, you need security. And some of the most awful things that we see happen in the world around us is because every single one of us, and again, it doesn't matter where you are on your journey. It doesn't matter what you believe about God. You can relate to this. You know this. Every single one of us is driven to be loved, to be valuable, and to be secure. And we try to find that in all sorts of different ways. And if you threaten it, I will do whatever I need to do to get it back. And if you threaten my sense of value, if you threaten my sense of security, and you know this, wars are waged so that we can feel secure. And I mean, think about it. Just in your life, the unbelievably ridiculous things you've done just so you can feel loved. Some of you have spent thousands of dollars removing ink from your skin that you received in order to prove to someone how much you love them. And you cannot to this day comprehend why you got Tammy's name tattooed on your ankle. But there was something inside of you. Every single one of us. You need to be loved. It's not just that you want to be loved. You need to be loved. And you can try to tell yourself that you can satisfy that need in yourself, but you can't. You need to be valued. And there's something inside of you that's constantly, and some of you live your life the way that you live it, and you work the hours that you work, and you're in the career that you're in because you are striving every single day to feel valuable. And you can't satisfy those needs in yourself. And you can try it. And there are books about how you can try it. And how you can wake up every morning and look yourself in the mirror and say to yourself, I love you, you are valuable, and we're okay. And you can try it. You can get up there and you can have that thing sitting on your mirror and you can say that to yourself every single morning. And for a little while, you can begin to trick yourself into thinking that you're actually satisfying that need for yourself. But then all of a sudden, something will happen. And maybe you're rejected by someone else. Or maybe you don't live up to the expectations of your parents. And everything begins to implode. You see, you can't satisfy these needs for yourself. And you can't escape it. You need to be loved. You need to be valuable. And you need security. And so what happens is we begin to seek these things from other people. And so we begin to interact with one another in ways in which I find someone that I believe can satisfy my need to be loved, and I begin to pursue them. And in the process, we enter into these unbelievable relationships where there's tremendous amount of expectation. Why are we enslaved to the expectation? Because if I don't meet the expectation, I will no longer receive what I need. And sometimes these are one-way relationships. And so I need to be valued. And as I grow up inside of my family, I realize that need can, in some way, shape, or form, be met by my parents. And so therefore, I'm constantly seeking that value from them. And for some of us, that value came very easily with our parents. But for others of us, there was just more and more and more and more expectations that needed to be met. And we live our lives enslaved to those expectations because we're trying to get from them what we need. But the problem is, you can't. And temporarily, they may be able to provide that for you. And you step into that relationship, and it's everything that you've ever hoped for. And every night you go to bed and you feel like you're just sleeping on clouds. It's just, life is so phenomenal, and you've been dreaming of this guy forever. You've been dreaming of this girl forever. And you tell everyone that you meet, that you met the one, and it's so beautiful, and you get engaged, and you get married, and things are still going well. Year one goes by, and things are going well, and you talk to other people who are struggling in their marriage, and you're like, oh, this is so, that's just because you didn't find the right one. I found the right one. And we're just made for one another. We are soulmates, and everything's going great. But then all of a sudden, he takes a new job, or all of a sudden, kids come into the equation, or she takes a new job, and something changes. And they're not able to provide for you what they used to provide. And there are certain expectations that you have of them, of how they're going to love you and the time that they're going to spend with you and the way that they're going to value you. Or oftentimes in marriages, what will happen is that there will be some kind of loss. And you walk through loss and the other person just isn't able to love that way anymore. And all of a sudden, everything begins to implode and everything begins to fall apart. But there are huge problems when we begin to allow the people around us to answer this question or to meet these needs in our lives. Number one, the people around us are broken. And so no matter how hard they try, there's going to come a point where they're going to let us down. And no matter how hard they try to value you the way that you should be valued, no matter how hard they try to love you the way that you should be loved, they're going to fall short. The other problem is that the people around you are conditional. And we would love to be able to say that they're not. We would love to be able to say that when we love our spouse, that we're not conditional. But no matter how hard we try not to be conditional, it always plays at least some part in the relationship.
And so then we find ourselves in situations where we're trying to make sure that they just know the good sides of us, and we begin to hide the other sides of us. And they can't really know all of who I am, because if they know all of who I am, then they're no longer going to provide what I need. And we begin this rat race inside of the relationships that we have with the people around us, in which we are, every single person involved, slaves to expectations. And I don't think it matters what the relationship is. If you don't understand what Jesus Christ brings to your life and my life as it pertains to the expectations in the people, in the relationships that we have with the people around us, you will live your entire life as a slave to those expectations. Because you need to be loved, and you need to be valued, and you need to be secure. And this is why, as God steps into your life and my life, He doesn't just step in and free us from the expectations that we have with Him, but He actually does something even better than everything that we've talked about up to this point. And I know that that's crazy, because how could it get any better? I mean, how could it possibly be any better than the fact that He's taken care of everything for me? How could it possibly be any better than the fact that I'm completely forgiven? How could it possibly be any better than the fact that all the expectations are met for my future? But it is. Because God doesn't just take care of the expectations so that you, as the creation, can be in a relationship with your Creator. And this is a huge mistake that I think that we make all the time inside the church, that we think that our relationship with God is the relationship of a creation with a God. And sometimes we go back to the relationship that the nation of Israel had with God, and we'll talk about it this way, and we'll say, well, listen, we are His people, and He is our God. And that's true. He is our God, and we are His people. But the unbelievable thing, this is the amazing thing that God does, that was a complete mystery until Jesus Christ came along. The unbelievable thing that God does is He steps into your life and my life, our experience. He says, listen, I'm going to free up everything. I'm going to give you complete freedom. I'm going to pay for everything. I'm going to do everything that needs to be done to restore us. But I don't want a relationship with you where I'm your God and you are my people. No. That's not what I want. I want to be your dad. I want to be your dad. And I want you to be my kids. Listen to what it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 15. It says, so you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. God does not have to do this. And everything that we've talked to up till now has brought us into this beautiful kingdom that God has. And we live inside this beautiful kingdom. But God says, listen, I don't want you to just be part of the kingdom. I want you to be part of the royal family. Did you know that the invitation to you and to me is to actually be brothers and sisters with Jesus Christ? To be part of the family. And God says, listen, I'm not just doing this so you can be part of the kingdom. No, that's not the relationship that I want. I want to adopt you into the royal family. And this changes everything. Because when you understand what He's talking about here, it changes the way you begin to interact with every other expectation in your life. Because God says, I want to meet those needs for you. And I don't want to just be a ruler. I don't want to just be Lord. I don't want to just be God. I want to be Dad. And this word Abba that he uses in this passage is unbelievably beautiful because it's a direct quote. It's a direct quote from the language that Jesus Christ uses in the garden. This is the way that Jesus talks to his dad. And the words that Jesus Christ uses when he talks to his dad in personal communication is he calls him Abba, Father. And Paul wants us to understand. He says, listen, this is the way that you can now approach him. Your relationship with God is now the same as the relationship that Jesus Christ has with the Father. And this is the way that he loves you. And he wants to once again satisfy that need. And as he invites us into that, he says, I'm going to love you that way. And the way that that's going to work is that I'm going to adopt you as my own kids. But for a lot of us, the relationship that we have with him is still the relationship of God. And because of that, we're not experiencing the fullness of the love that he wants to bring into our hearts and into our lives. And this is huge. And for some of us, we kind of view God as dad, but it's more like, you know, like a friend's dad kind of thing. And to be honest with you, you know, as a parent, like, you love your kids' friends, right? And I mean, a lot of you love on my kids, and I know you love my kids, and I love my kids' friends, and my kids' friends come over to play, and they're great, and I really appreciate them, and I want to love on them, but the truth is, I'm glad when they go home. Right? I mean, you're glad when they go home. Why? They're not your kids. God says, no, you're my kids. My kids. Not my friends' kids. Not some kids, you're my kids. This is the way I love you. But not only does it speak to this question of love, it changes everything about this question of value. And God says, you know what makes you valuable? You're a brother or a sister of Jesus Christ. You are part of the royal family. And there is nothing more valuable than that. Nothing more valuable than that. And when it comes to this question of security, again, you are his kids. And if you're a parent, you know that as a parent, you're going to do everything you possibly can. And as a parent, I mean, you think about it all the time, day in and day out. I mean, even as I'm in California and my kids are here with my parents, I'm thinking about it every single day. Okay, are my kids safe? What can I do to be able to, in some way, shape, or form, make sure that my kids are safe? And God says, listen, I don't want to just take care of you like some people. I'm going to take care of you the way that a father takes care of his kids. This is your security. And Jesus Christ steps into our experiences and says, listen, you've been trying to find all these other things in the relationships that you have with the people around you. And in the process, you've made yourself a slave to their expectations. And I want to step into your experience so that you can begin to experience those things in me. And in that, find freedom. Are the expectations still going to be there? Absolutely. The expectations are still going to be there. But you aren't enslaved to them. And you can begin to live your life not because of this person expects this of me, or I need to live up to this, or I need to accomplish this, or I need to prove this, but you can begin to live your life with real mission and real purpose, and you make the decisions that you make throughout your day because you know, okay, this is the path to life, and this is where God's calling me, and this is how I can love this person best. Because oftentimes, the expectations that we're trying to live up to rob us of our ability to actually love the people around us. Because we know that loving them is going to be something that's going to be difficult and hard, and we don't want to walk through that, because if we do that, then they may stop loving us. And I need them to love me. And Jesus says, that's not the way that you're going to live anymore. And you can begin to live your life based upon where I'm leading, based upon how I've created you, instead of enslaved to those expectations. Because I'm going to provide what you need. But the problem is this. The problem is, most of us aren't experiencing that in our relationship with God. You know why we're not experiencing that in our relationship with God? Because we still don't believe that He took care of the expectations between us and Him. And we've bought into this lie, hook, line, and sinker, that we have to fix ourselves before we can actually experience that kind of love from Him. And so our mistakes, and I'm telling you, this is a journey. What we've been talking through the last few weeks, it's a journey. It's not something that's just going to happen overnight. It's a journey that you have to begin to constantly transform your mind, to think about God and to think about this experience with Him in an entirely new way. Because I guarantee you that for many of you, even this week, and one of the ways that I can test this in my own life is that I look at how I pray and what I think about when I'm praying. Because oftentimes I'll be asking God for something, or I'll be asking God to do something, or I'll be asking God for an experience of Him in some way, shape, or form. And you know what I'll begin to do in my mind? I'll begin to evaluate how I lived this past week. You ever do that? You ever begin to have a conversation with God about someone that you care about, or you have a conversation with God about something that you'd really like to see happen? Maybe this week you're talking to Him about a promotion, or maybe this week you're talking to Him about a relationship, or maybe this week you're begging and pleading for Him to be able to help one of your friends understand and see who He is. And in the midst of that conversation, what will begin to happen in my mind is that I'll begin to play back the week and think, okay, was I good enough for Him to answer this request? Because I'm still living in this world of expectations. I still believe it has to do with my performance. And for so many of us, we're not experiencing that love in the relationship with Him, not because we're not performing, but because we don't believe Him that we don't have to perform. And we're not experiencing that value. We're not experiencing Him speak over us that, listen, you are my child and you are a part of my family, and the full beauty of that, because we're still keeping Him at arm's distance saying, listen, I'm going to get this right and then I'll step into this relationship with you. And He's saying, no, 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 that's not the way it works. But the lie is constantly there that I'm here and I need to fix it, and then I can be His child, and then I can experience that love, and then I can be that valuable. And some of you are here, and maybe you've been walking with us for the last couple of weeks, or maybe this is your first time with us. And your entire life, you've heard that lie. Your entire life, you've heard, listen, if you can just get yourself right, then the invitation is there to be part of God's family. That's not the invitation. It's not the invitation. The invitation to you, no matter where you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what journey you've walked down, is this. If you trust me, you just come to me. You just come on in. You just come on in. Come on in. You get to be part of the family. Just come on in. Just walk on in. Come on. You get to be part of the family. And for some of you, maybe today, for the very first time, you're going to trust God that you get to be part of the family. Not because of anything that you've done or anything that you've lived up to, but because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. For others of you, you've trusted him that you've been forgiven. Some of you, you've even trusted him that you've been reborn, kind of. But you're still not experiencing the family. And you're still not experiencing the freedom from the weight of the expectations of the people around you because you're not allowing him to love you. You're keeping him at arm's distance. And he's saying, just come on in. Come on in. I know you blew it. I know you didn't live up to it. I know. Come on in. Come on in. Just let me love you. And when you do, you'll find an unbelievable freedom. And you begin to move through this life having experienced what you need in the relationship with your dad. And making the decisions that you make and living the life that you live based upon how you can love better. Will you pray with me? Father, today as we look at this beautiful truth of how you've adopted us into your family, how you've not only given us freedom in our past and our future, not only have you given us freedom to be able to just worship you, to just choose you, but that you've also given us freedom in the relationships that we have with those around us because you've satisfied, you've brought to us the desires of our heart and satisfied these unbelievable cravings that we have to be loved and to be valued and to be protected. And Father, I pray that today as we continue this journey together, I pray for those who are here who for the very first time are going to step into that family. I pray that as they do, they would just leave behind the lie of expectation. I pray that from the very beginning, they would begin to experience the fullness of what you've come to bring into their lives. That from the very beginning, they would trust you that they've been adopted. That you love them this way. I pray for those who've trusted you about their forgiveness and have trusted you that they are your people and that you are their God. But they have not yet experienced the fact that you are their dad. That they are part of this family. The value that comes from that. The security that comes from that. Father, I pray that they would trust you enough to step into your arms in the midst of their brokenness. That they would trust you enough to step into that family. When they haven't performed. Father, you've done everything that needs to be done. Everything. And so today, more than anything else, we say thank you. And Dad, your kids love you. We just love you. In Jesus' name.